For today, we are going to pursue that same theme that some of you may or maybe not have had in your morning Bible studies, but it is the theme of faithfulness. And you were in Matthew chapter 21. For us today, we're going to be in Psalm 19, so if you'd like to go ahead and turn there, that'd be just fine. We'll be there in just a minute. If you don't have a Bible, as always, the text is in the bulletin or it's on the wall. You can follow along there. And if you don't have a personal Bible, if you would let us know that, either talk to us, talk to me afterwards, or write it on the response form or something like that, and we'll be sure to follow up with you. Other requests as well, you know, you can submit there on those forms and drop that in the plate, or you can give it to an usher myself. So faithfulness is what we're going to pursue, and we're going to do it through a thought we're going to entitle The Rhythm of Creation. The rhythm of creation, and we'll get there shortly, but first let's define rhythm, all right? So somebody want to come dance for us? That's what I figured. The idea of rhythm is that it is repetitive, that it is consistent, that it is recurring. And so it is identifiable, and that's a key word today. It's identifiable. Rhythm is something that you can look at and know that it is rhythm. So typically when I started with dance, typically we think of rhythm. I do anyway. I think of either music or I think of dancing. And when you see somebody who's dancing to the music, whatever dance it is, you can tell they're in rhythm, right? Have you ever said that to somebody? Wow, she's got rhythm, or he's got rhythm. Anybody ever said that of you? All right. So when somebody's moving to the music like that, they're in beat, they're in step, they're in sync, there's harmony, there's unity. And so it's identifiable, and some of our girls here are dancers, and so they could look at a dance and tell you what style of dance it is. Now, not by my demonstration, all right? I do freestyle, and mine is noticeable. Mine is not identifiable, okay? Noticeable means like, what's going on? Is that an allergic reaction, or you got a bug in your pants? What's the deal there, Pastor? But for some of you, when you dance, it's identifiable. Somebody would look at that and go, oh, that's a form of ballet, or that's a folk style dance, or that's ballroom dancing, all the ballroom different styles, right, that you all practice, like the cha-cha, or the Charleston, or the salsa, or the samba, or the jive, and all those sorts of dances, right? So when somebody's moving to the music, you're like, oh, that's really nice, right? It's in unity. They're balancing their dance with the rhythm, and it just looks fantastic. The opposite is true when somebody's dancing in such a way that's just not that pretty, right? You ever seen somebody not dancing along with the music? Just kind of out of sync. It's like, boy, they just don't have rhythm, okay? So rhythm is identifiable. It's recurring. It is consistent. It is repetitive, things of that nature. So dance is one of those ways that we see that. Another form, I guess, where we might think of rhythm is in music. Music. So what is your favorite genre of music? And by genre, I don't mean what's your favorite artist or band, singer. I don't mean what's your favorite lyric from a song. I mean style of music. When you hear it, you're like, I identify with that. I like that. It has harmony or unity. It's consistent with me. Anybody, what's your favorite genre? Country. 70s. 80s. Generations. Sir? 60s, uh-oh. We've got religious. So religious is probably not a genre, right? But we like music that sings about Christ, right? And we like it in certain forms, maybe classical or maybe a choir form, maybe a gospel or country or southern, all sorts of ways. Anybody else, you have a favorite genre of music? Rap, okay? So there's all sorts of, listen, within the context of this small group, okay, don't ever get the mindset that we all like the same music the same way, because we don't. You've got different radio stations tuned in your car than I do. Okay, my sweet spot, and you'd probably never guess it, is jazz. It is, man. That's where I live. And whether it's jazz gospel, jazz Christian, if it's jazz instrumental, if it's got vocals with it, that's home for me. So when I hear something, I'm like, oh, that resonates. And you can ask my family. I play jazz music at home. When I'm washing dishes or cooking supper or whatever I'm doing. When I'm studying in my office, I've got a chill out jazz station that just plays in the background, and it has some drive to it, so it just kind of keeps my heart pumping, keeps me focused, and keeps me going, and I don't know. So that's where I live. That's my home, all right? And so in music, the same thing is true of music that's true of dance. There's a rhythm to it, and it's identifiable. So if we all went to our cars right now and started tuning stations, even if we didn't know one word of a song, we heard a melody or a drum beat or a sound, we would probably stop and listen. Why? Okay, because we identify with that. There's something about the melody and the sound of that song that speaks my language. So language is all preference as far as style or genre. And so we have all sorts of different styles. The same thing could be said of music, that could be said of dance, specifically singing. Sometimes when somebody is playing a song and trying to sing along with the song, if they're not in sync, then you kind of get more noise than you get song, right? You're kind of like trying to follow it, trying to see where it's going. But when the soundtrack or the instrumentalist, when they're in tune with the singer, then it's like, oh, there's harmony there, there's consistency there. It's identifiable as a certain sound. And so we've got rhythm. Rhythm is in music, it's in dance, it's in all sorts of things, and everybody has their tastes. But did you know there's also rhythm in creation? If we were to put our ear right now to the ground, would you hear the rhythm of creation? Is that what we're talking about? No. So you would probably hear something, but it would be somebody's foot sleep or tapping or something like that. It wouldn't be necessarily a creation the way we're going to talk about it today. So the rhythm of creation is this. It's identifiable by the one who is orchestrating, by the one who is conducting, by the one who is making creation happen. And so what it means is you can look at that and understand more about the Creator. You look at it and go, oh, there's a rhythm to it. There's a harmony to it. There's a unity. I understand it. And so what we're talking about today is basically the rhythm, one of the rhythms of God as displayed through His creation. So we could talk in all sorts of directions. We could talk about how great the universe is, right? How vast it is. And then we could explore the rhythm of God's greatness, because they certainly declare to us that He is immense. We could talk about like storms, and we could talk about wind, or we could talk about earthquakes, and we could look into the rhythm of God's power, right? All creation is in rhythm with God. And so whatever God is, creation reflects. That makes sense? And so we've got a great universe, which means we have a great God. We could look at microscopic elements and look at the rhythm of God's attention to detail. We could look at how everything functions in order always, and we could talk about the rhythm of God's order. For our time together today, all sorts of directions we could go, but what we're going to look at is our theme. What is the rhythm of God's faithfulness? What is the rhythm of God's faithfulness? What are those things in creation that God has made that are identifiable as faithful? And they are consistent, and they are recurring, and they are repetitive, and they do what they do always until they die. That's the whole concept of this message today. I want to look at creation, look at the Creator, and look at how our lives can echo that same melody, how we are to emulate that same rhythm. All right, so Psalm 19 is where we're going to be. We were here about 6 weeks ago looking at the middle portion of this section as it related to the power of God's Word. We're just going to start with the first 6 verses today, which declare to us some things about God through all that He has made. So if you've got your Bible here, let's go. Psalm 19, 1 through 6. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament," or the expanse, "shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun," verse 5, "which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat." And so it is here today. I want to look through these first 6 verses, look at our Creator, look at what His creation is doing, and look how you and I, as people of God should be reflecting, imitating, emulating these qualities of God. So three things we'll note if you're following along in your bulletin. The first one is this: creation reveals God's faithfulness, and in this way, God's faithfulness to lead us and God's faithfulness to encourage us. So when I look at creation, I can find the leading of God, and I can find the encouragement of God, and I can find both those things going on always. Okay, that's faithful, repetitive, consistent. It's identifiable. It's always going on. So right now, we could look all around and see the rhythm of faithfulness in some of God's creation. How many of you have flowers busting up through the ground at your house? You got trees starting to bud or bloom. Okay? So how many of you told the trees it's about time to start blooming? None of us did, right? They just do it on their own. 2 weeks ago, I could take you to several spots in my yard and point to the position, to the size of a dime, where a plant would be coming up in about 2 weeks. You know why I could do that? Because it does it every year. I've got a stake in the ground, and this plant grows up big, and I tie it to the stake when it gets too big, because then it gets heavy. And every year, here's the stake, whoop, right there. Every year, without fail, that plant shoots up, and it'll keep shooting up right there until it dies. That's the picture of faithfulness. So we've got in creation this rhythm. It's faithful, it's faithful. Year after year, these trees bud and bloom, and these flowers bust out of the ground. We do nothing, and they do their thing. Because they're faithful, and they reflect our faithful God. Psalm 85:11 says this: faithfulness, maybe you didn't know this, faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. Where does faithfulness come from? Ooh. It grows. You can see it. It's consistent, repetitive. It's identifiable as faithfulness. So then every time I go and look at this little daffodil, every time we go look at a tulip, or we go look at a daylily or an Easter lily, hosta, whatever it is you're looking at, we don't just stop at, oh, that's a beautiful flower. We go, wow, that's a faithful God. They just do their thing year after year after year with no help from me. They're just this resemblance of consistency, constancy, of faithfulness. And we could talk about, last week we did a little bit, the sunrise and the sunset. Remember the psalmist said in Psalm 130, I have more assurance in the word of God than the guy does who's watching the sunrise and sunset. So you think the sun's coming up tomorrow? Remember this conversation? Yeah, it's going to come up tomorrow. You think it's going to set tonight? Yes. Well, he said, I've got more confidence in what God has said than in those things happening. And yet every day we can look up and see the sunrise and see the sunset. When's the last time you've taken a sunrise in? When's the last time you went out and intentionally watched the sun just set? See, every day, all around us, we have this rhythm of the faithfulness of God. Flowers coming up out of the ground. The sun's going to rise and the sun's going to set. We see consistent movements in the universe. We can track these as well. We can see it in our moon. Psalm 89:37 says, talking about the kingdom of David, he says, it will be established forever like what? Like the moon. What is the moon? It's the faithful witness in the sky. Psalm 89:37. It will be established forever like the moon, that faithful witness in the sky. It's always there. It's always there. It's resemblance of the faithfulness of God. We could go this morning down to the beach. Anybody want to go? Man, and we could sit there in our chairs with our feet in the sand and just watch waves roll in and waves roll out. You know, they don't clock in and clock out. That's all they do. Because the Bible says God said that's what they're going to do. Here's your boundary. You can come here. Now go back. And so the waves roll in and the waves roll back. And they're consistent. They're constant. Every day you go to the beach, you can watch things of that nature happen. Right now, you and I are sitting on this terrestrial ball. And it is rotating. Can you feel it? Right now it's rotating. Right now it's revolving. Every day, without fail, this thing rotates and revolves. Every day. And it has for thousands of years. So when we think about these types of things, all we need to do is look around and see that God is faithful. I was thinking this week about time. We set time by God's creation. Right? We set time by it. You know that You can be judged in law by time. You could stand before a judge and be guilty of crime because somebody can place you at the scene at the specific time. And so it's time that holds you up. The only way you get out is what? If you've got an alibi, if you can put me somewhere else at that time, then the law declares me innocent. Right? It's all about time. And I'm amazed. I understand. God says he's amazed. The only thing that amazes him is our unbelief. And I'm amazed at how simple things are and yet how complicated we make. How can we not connect the dots? You're going to hold somebody to this standard of law by something that's consistent in creation. And yet you just don't think there's a creator. Just absurdity in my mind. I don't understand that. And yet, it's that faithful witness in the sky. That moon, it's going to be there forever and ever. So all around us, you've got the rhythm of faithfulness. Within you and I, we've got the rhythm of faithfulness. So how many of our hearts are beating right now? Right? Yeah, hopefully all of us. And if you've ever heard it, you put a stethoscope up. This, in my mind, it's kind of like the pum-pow. 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 Right? And it's faithful to do that. And it's faithful to do it as long as it's going to do it until it doesn't do it anymore. Witness that here this weekend. The heart beat, 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 beat. Done. Not beating anymore. It's faithful to do what it's going to do until it's done. And so I've got faithfulness, this rhythm built within me. What about your lungs? Are your lungs functioning right now? Maybe at different degrees or whatever, but they're functioning. They're allowing you and I to inhale and to exhale. All around us, all I'm trying to say is this rhythm of faithfulness. And so let's see why this is here. Why has God put his rhythm of faithfulness in all that he's created? Back in verse 1, if you'll go there, Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." And so all of these things that have been created by God are for a specific purpose. They are to declare God. And so when we look around, we don't have to look hard. We go, there's God. 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 He's all over the place. He's in everything. And all these things are to declare him. They are to reveal him. There to help us to understand him. See, God wants us to know him. It's not just that he set the moon up so that we'd go, wow, great job. Love what you've done with the flowers. Nice trees. Pretty mountain. He wants us to get beyond the created to know the creator. To look at him. To understand him. To grow in him. To surrender, submit to him. To know him. And so all these things he has created are just to declare to us that I am God. You need to check me out. Among many things that my creation declares is that I am faithful. And so he is using these things to reveal himself to us. Verse 4, let's go there. Psalm 19 says, their voice, talking about creation. Here specifically he's talking about the skies, the heavens. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. And so to me, this is a cool thought. If somebody walked in here this morning, say, Sarah came home and she brought somebody with her from Beijing. And they were trying to listen to me speak. Would they understand what I'm saying if they didn't know English? No. And I couldn't begin to speak Chinese. And so unless there's some kind of Holy Spirit intervention thing, that's not going to happen. I'm going to talk and you're not going to understand. But I can look at you and he could look at me or she could look at me and know there's a God. And they could walk out and experience everything that we can see and understand that there is a God. All creation. Everyone can look up. Everyone can look out and look within and see there is a God. All we need to do is look. Romans chapter 1 verse 20 makes this clear also. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, they've been clearly seen. Being understood from what has been made. So creation clearly reveals so that people are without excuse. Right? It doesn't mean that you can look at a star and go, save me, star. But you look at a star and go, man, there's got to be something more to this than meets the eye, than kind of what we make of it sometimes. There's a much bigger story that's being written. So God has created all these things to lead us, but he's also created all these things for the believer to encourage us. And so the rhythm of creation is faithfulness. It's faithful to encourage you and I. So think about that this way for a minute. If I can see the faithfulness of God in all that he has made, why would I ever be afraid? Why would I ever be afraid? If I can see the faithfulness of God, why would I ever worry? Why would my soul ever be downcast or distressed if I can see the faithfulness of God at all times? The only reason it would be that way is because I get my eyes off of his creation in this rhythm of faithfulness and I start looking at my situation. And so what I want to say to you is this. The next time you find yourself stressed out, frustrated, downcast, afraid, worried, don't get caught in that moment. Is my heart still beating? You let your heart pump pow. Let it say to you, faithful, faithful, faithful. Inhale, faith. Exhale, full. My lungs are still functioning. My heart's still functioning. The sun's still rising and setting. The moon's still doing its thing, and so is the earth. And all creation is still declaring that God is faithful. So rather than get caught up in my situation, why don't I get caught up in the rhythm of God's faithfulness? He's demonstrated all these things. We have everything that we need to never fret, never worry, never be afraid if we'll just look. And sometimes it seems we're a little content just to wring our hands, to try to take control of a situation, to try to pray our way. When God says, I've declared to you, I'm faithful. Your time here is, this is just the start. You're going to come spend forever with me, eternity. Work here, yes, but ultimately where you're headed is something far greater. Creation reveals that God is faithful. Secondly, here this morning, this rhythm of creation, it's going to reveal that we each have a role to fulfill. We each have a distinct role, personal role, unique role that we are to fulfill. So here in our text, David's going to outline a few things. He's talking about the skies. He's talking about the heavens. He's talking about their roles. And he's saying these things declare the greatness and faithfulness of God. So all these things do it, right? You declare the greatness of God. The trees declare the greatness of God. The waters declare the greatness of God. The flowers coming out of the ground. Everything in the sky. All these things, they all are doing the same thing, declaring that God is great, bringing him honor and glory, focusing on him, and yet they all do it in their own way. And so let's read this here. The second half of verse 4 begins this way through verse 6. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and it makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. And so here again, we've got the pictures of the firmament, of the heavens, of the expanse, declaring the greatness of God. And yet each one of them is fulfilling that through their distinct role. So maybe to say it a little simpler would be this. The sun is not the sky, right? And the sun will never be the sky, and the sky will never be the sun. The trees are not the bushes, and the bushes are not the trees. The flower is not the ocean's not the flowers. Your lungs are not your heart, and your heart's not your lungs. And yet all these things are beating the same rhythm of faithfulness to the glory of God. So everything works to that end, but each does it within its own specified, unique, God-given role. And so the point is this. You and I have a similar design. We're human beings. And yet our giftings are different. Our abilities are different. Where God plants us is different. How he purposes our lives is different. His leading is different. In the same way, you are to bring glory to God just like I am. But in your world, that's going to look different than in my world. See, what I'd love to be able to detail for you this morning is this is how it works for you. This is what God's plan is specifically for you. This is how he is uniquely hemmed you in, how he has fashioned you. This is the exact purpose that he has made you. I just can't do that here this morning. But I can tell you that in a general way, you and I have all been fashioned by the same creator to accomplish the same purpose. Wake up and bring me glory and do it by fulfilling the work I've given you to do. You make disciples, you function as my church, but you're going to make disciples at your school, at your work, in your neighborhood, with your family. I don't know these people. I'll probably never run into them because I haven't been placed there. That's your role, all right? And you're not going to run into the people that I know. Our paths may cross a little bit, but mostly it's going to be God's put you there, position me there, so that we may minister and serve those people. We need to each fulfill our role. Let's see here. I believe it was end of March or maybe the beginning of April. I think it was April, May, June. Beginning of April 2003, my family and I tracked here for a weekend, kind of get to know you, interview kind of thing, share a vision, kind of what we felt like ministry looked like, philosophy, talk through that stuff, had a good time together. On Sunday afternoon, before the Sunday evening service, sat with a group of individuals here who were trying to bring a God person here, somebody they felt like God was leading, and that's so they started asking me questions. And we worked through a pretty vague job description, but when we got to the end of the whole discussion, it was this. If God moves you to come here, and God moves us that we want to extend this same invitation to you to come, we want you to come here and minister and serve within your personality, within your spirit, within your God-given gifts. And church, I hold to that to this day. And that was huge in my book. We sat in Super 8 and I said, get me out of here. Now. I want to go. I was terrified. And we went home, and one of the main things that's remained that consistent rhythm is you minister the way God has gifted you. You minister from your heart. We're not going to set a regimented schedule. We're not going to micromanage you and say X, Y. And yes, there is a description. But more than anything, there's a spirit. There's a God. You pursue the Lord. You let the Lord lead you, and then you lead. And I've loved that. I've loved that ever since. Because what that says, it identifies here with just what Psalm 19 is saying. Each one of us do things differently. I've not been put here to fill somebody's shoes. Neither have you. And that's not to discredit my Uncle David, and that's not to raise him up. It's to say, I'm not him. I'm not supposed to be him. Neither are you. All right, so you think about people in your life. Maybe you've been trying to fill a role. It's not your role to fill. That was their time. That was their place. Same God is within you, and he's got a role specifically for you. So search your role. Get in the Word. Look at your giftings. What is it that you feel passionate about? Pray. Look for those promptings from the Word of the Lord. Feel, sense the promptings of the Spirit within you, those nudges. And then go for it. Chase it. And my wife would stand here and tell you today, what she's doing currently was never on her radar. It's not what she's trained for. It's not what her degree's in. It's not what she studied or what she was passionate about. And yet it's been this evolution of her owning her uniqueness, her role. She's trying to understand that further. I love that. I love when people are willing to be free enough to take that risk to say, all right, God, you've not made me to be that guy. You've made me to be me. We're working to the same degree, the same end, but I'm going to do it a little bit differently. I remember Rob Morgan, pastor in Nashville, talking about how for the first 5 or 6 years of his ministry, he practiced his mentor's voice. He loved the way his mentor's voice sounded. So he wanted to say phrases the same way. And he wanted to enunciate and to accentuate. And so when people heard his voice, they would think, oh, that guy. And he said, it took me a while for it to click that I'm not that guy. I'm not here to imitate him. Same goal, preach the Word for the glory of God, but through my uniqueness, through how God has made me, through my role, I need to function. And so each of us are to work just like the sun is not the stars, just like the water is not the flower. They all bring glory to God, but they do it in their created role. Be faithful to your role. And if you sit here today and you say, I don't know where I fit, man, pursue that with all you've got. Don't be content to go, I just don't know. And a week later, I just don't know. And a month later, I just don't know. Pursue the Lord. Read His Word. Look at how He's made you. Think of the opportunities around you. And then pray those through. For me, if there's peace, I run to it. And if peace is gone, that's a red flag in my book. Follow the Lord. Fulfill your role. Declare His greatness. Do your work. However you want to word it. The rhythm in creation is to be faithful. And so it's not my job to be faithful to what you're supposed to be doing. It's not your job to be faithful to what I'm supposed to be doing. It's our job together, both, to be faithful to our role. Remember when Paul said there's one head who's Jesus, but then there's what? There's many parts. There's all sorts of parts, but they all function together as one body. They're supposed to, faithfully, fulfilling their role, doing their work, following the lead of the head. We each have a role to fulfill. And then third here this morning, we think about our role. We need to be faithful as long as we have life here. Creation, that rhythm of faithfulness, reveals for us the definition of faithfulness. You be faithful until you die. Just faithful until you die. And creation demonstrates that, right? And that tree is going to keep budding every year until it does what? Until it dies. And it's not going to bud and bloom anymore. And those flowers are going to keep coming up out of the ground until maybe one day they rot and die. And they're not going to come up anymore. But until that happens, they're going to be faithful. That heart within your chest is going to keep going pum-pow, pum-pow, pum-pow until it quits. And it's fulfilled its role. The same way with our lungs. Inhale, exhale. They're going to do it until they don't. They're faithful to do their role. And so while we are here, creation reveals that we are to be faithful for as long as we live. And to me, that's one of the definitions of faithfulness. As long as you have breath, fulfill your role. Do it till you die. Now, the reality is over time, things shift a little bit. God can redirect us. Or maybe He further reveals things to us. And so we may take different steps. Our detailed roles may change. But the specific or the general role is always the same. Bringing Him glory, fulfilling the mission of His church. So though our specific roles may shift, God is still faithful. He's still the same. Let's go to verse 2 here and we'll see this picture of faithfulness. Talking again about the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God. Verse 2 tells us, day after day they pour forth speech, and night after night they reveal knowledge. How long do they do it? All day, every day. Couldn't have said it any better. All day, every day. That's just what day after day after day, night after night after, they always are doing what they've been created to do. Now, if we can be honest, is there any way that that sounds like drudgery to you? Okay? It's kind of monotonous, just the routine. It's, oh, I just got to keep doing this and keep doing this, and it's hard, and I don't understand, and I'm struggling, and I wish this, and in some ways it sounds like it's just kind of not what I want to be a part of. Let's look at verse 5 here. Psalm 19, verse 5. We're talking about the sun here. God's created the sun. He says, it's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion, what? Rejoicing to run his course. Rejoicing to run his course. And so the idea here is this. If the sun had a personality, it would wake up every morning like the Jimmy Dean commercial or Bob Evans, whatever it is. You know, bright, good morning. And it would just pronounce beauty all day. It would just be so excited that it has a role to fulfill. God has given me life and I can't wait to do what I'm supposed to be doing. So it's a matter of having our priorities and our perspective and our attitude in tune with God. It's not that I have to, it's I get to. It's not, oh, I don't want to. It's I love my role. I love the way that you have made me. And I know I've said that a lot here recently. But church, there's nothing like living in that sweet spot where God has made you. When you feel like you're functioning in the position or the place or the opportunity that God has prepared you for, then it's great. Doesn't mean there aren't struggles. Absolutely. There's always struggles. It doesn't mean there's days where it's not hard. Absolutely. Days where you're going to throw in the towel. Absolutely. That's the reality for all of us. But within my sweet spot, there's a satisfaction. There's this joy that I am partnering with God. This is what He has led, and I'm trying to follow to the best of my ability. I'm not perfect at it, but I'm trying. I'm pursuing the Lord. Think of Jesus. When Jesus, before He was crucified, He prays. He says, "Father, I've completed my work." It's the idea of accomplishment. You think it was fun to go to the cross? You think it was enjoyable to be beaten to a degree that you were unrecognizable? No, and yet He is saying, within me, there is a satisfaction because I am fulfilling my role. To God be the glory. And as the Son looked on His Father, or as the Father looks on the Son, He says the same thing, that it brought joy to have His Son pierced. See, don't ever confuse joy and happiness. It's not the, oh, dance around kind of thing. It's a deep-seated gladness that what we've set in motion is coming to fruition. All that we've been preparing for leading up to this moment, everything in history will hinge on this cross, on His death, and on His resurrection. So the completion of that plan brought satisfaction, brought joy. And so here this morning, just was trying to think through what creation is revealing to us right now. You can walk outside right now and see these things. Sun, moon, stars later, trees, bushes. You can see all that right now. You can put your two fingers up here in your neck. And you can feel faithfulness, right? Inhale, exhale. We can feel, sense, and know that God is a faithful God. And so this morning, we just tried to look through one of the rhythms of God's creation. It's the rhythm of faithfulness. It's consistent. It's repetitive. It's identifiable. That's God. That's God. That's God. All these things reference or refer to Him and His faithfulness. The truth of the matter is, you and I can see ourselves there as well. God is faithful. And so it's our job to be faithful in return. Just as creation is faithful, it's like a mirror back to heaven. Right? It's demonstrating faithfulness. You and I are to be the same way. God's faithful. So people should be able to look at Corey Penn and go, "I don't know about anything else, but I see faithfulness." That should be a trait, a mark. Something that is identifiable within those who believe. And so I just want to ask you as we close here this morning. We've talked about the faithfulness of God's creation. When you look in the mirror and see yourself, do you see that reflection? Are you reflecting back to God faithfulness? Faithfulness. I'm waking up to live for His glory. And my lot, though it may differ, I'm pouring my heart into it. And I'm giving my very best. And I'm working to please and honor Him. And in no way am I earning anything for what I'm doing. It's just my pleasure to work within my created role. And so I want to function here well. I want to give my heart. Do you see that effort of faithfulness when you look at yourself? Maybe you sit here this morning and you'd say, I don't know what my role is. Then I want to encourage you to pursue that. Pursue it. And it's not going to, drop in a letter from heaven, open it up in an envelope, well, here you go. But He'll write that on your heart. He'll lead you through His Word. He may open or shut a door. He may lead someone into your life who needs you or needs Him, or vice versa. So look for the opportunities. Try to understand your role. Identify your role. Maybe you sit here today and you're just a little bit discouraged. Could be by anything. You could be afraid. You could be worried. Could be distressed. Just want to encourage you today, once again, look to creation. But don't stop there. Let creation just once again speak that rhythm to you. God is faithful. God is faithful. Waves roll in, they roll out. He's faithful. Though this, what I'm enduring right now, may be very difficult, but the trees are still blooming and He's faithful. And though I don't know the next step to take, I'm not sure how this is going to work out, the sun is still going to set tonight, so I know He's faithful. just all around, let it be an encouragement to you that the God that you serve has invested so much in just reminding us in these little ways that he is a faithful God.